The Enneagram of Personality podcast with Logan Jones is a part of the Life Audio Faith Toolkit series. For more inspirational, faith-affirming podcasts, visit lifeaudio.com.
Hey everybody, this is the episode about Enneagram Type 4. Welcome back. The universe loved you better. That just captures an essence of Enneagram Type 4 in all of us, but specifically the Enneagram Type 4s of this world. There is this fundamental sense that the universe loved you better than me. In there, of course, is I am different from you. I'm different from her. I'm different from him. There is this constant contrast and comparison to everything that leads me to an understanding, a feeling, an emotion, an intense knowing that I am different. I'm uniquely flawed. I'm not like everybody else. I'm not like her or him or them. Definitely not like you. And you can sigh with them, almost like, you know, just heave a sigh. Let's face it, fours are deeper than the average person. It's just the truth. A shout out to my mom, Jenny, who is an Enneagram Type 4. You're just beautiful people. And nobody's buying, by the way, when you say, oh, what? When someone, you know, compliments you on what you're wearing and you say, oh, what, this? Oh, I just threw it on. No, we don't buy it, and we love it because it's so put together, and your sense of style is what everybody else looks up to. And this is one of the reasons we not only have but need magazines like Vogue. That it's the Enneagram Type 4s that, like that magazine that I just mentioned, set the tone for the rest of us. We're constantly catching up to the four's sense of style and how to be put together. Otherwise, we would all be going to our local coffee shops in our PJs. You know? I mean, think about it. So we owe all Type 4s a sense of gratitude and a big thank you. So hear it from me. Hear it from this Enneagram Type 2 over here. Thank you, Type 4s. You help us see what otherwise we might not perceive as missing. To make life fuller and richer and purposeful and to add that depth of meaning to everything. Thank you. We love you. Don't stop. And we know you're not just depressed. You know, I say that lightly, but you know what I'm saying. In all things Enneagram, just remember not to stereotype. And it's not just the fours of the world, but there's other numbers as well. But since I'm here on the fours, don't stereotype them as depressed. I mean, if I were teaching a lecture, I would say, can I see all the hands, you know, of anyone? Raise your hand if you've ever been depressed. You know, picture that situation with me. All the hands go up. Who hasn't been depressed? Come on now. Please don't stereotype. Of course, I mean that in general, but especially in Enneagram stuff. It might seem so easy to do, but don't slip slide into that. Don't think that Enneagram Type 4s are all depressed or Enneagram Type 4s are all artists. You know, that's not what we mean when we say that the Type 4s of this world are the artists, the bohemian, the ones who are the tragic romantics of this world. That is not what is meant by that. What is meant by that is what this whole episode is about. I want to give you some ways to possibly connect with your inner four and to connect to the fours in your world, in your life. And if you are a four, welcome. Please, let me know. I hope I do a good job with this because I feel like sometimes in stuff that I see on Instagram or Facebook or other social media about the Enneagram is that not just the fours, but especially the fours get caricatured and stereotyped a lot and unfairly. Maybe it's just because y'all are deeper, and we have to stereotype in order to classify. But again, everybody, that's not the reason for studying this. The reason to study this, and my aim here, is through the wisdom way of Jesus and through his teaching style of parables and through story to give us a glimpse of who we are beyond our personalities, you know, who we are beyond our character types and our structures and the way that we have been formed, so that we might be empowered, first and foremost, in our imagination, the seat of where we can be empowered to face the transformation that is seeking to manifest itself in our lives and in our relationships, in love and at work and beyond.
Well, good day to you. It's Joel with The King Country dropping in to let you know that our brand new film, Unsung Hero, is in theaters now.
It's Luke here. We've teamed up with the creators of Jesus Revolution to bring you this adventure of a lifetime. It's a powerful, true story about a family uniting, growing in their faith, and facing the impossible together.
In theaters now, unsunghero.movie for more information.
Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
What impacts you every day? There is one book that influences almost every aspect of our lives. Museum of the Bible reveals the Bible's impact on your favorite musicians and artists, the way we measure time, social justice, our national monuments, and more. The Bible's impact is all around you. Discover how at museumofthebible.org/impact.
This emotional range is a big thing, and it's huge. It's a superpower, if you will, of the Enneagram Type 4s. I mean, they are equally at home in ecstasy or in the moments of shipwreck. These are the people who literally can sit with you and who will not need to speak to you when you just need to be listened to or held or sat with in your pain. They're not uncomfortable with it. These are the people that hold us together when we are falling apart. They are there for us. So how can we be there, you know, for the fours in our life? How can we be there for you, Type 4? Well, one big way is to recognize that, you know, for each and every one of us, working with our own Enneagram type is about awakening from a trance, in a sense, you know, awakening, you could say, from my worldview, my kingdom, and recognizing, whoa, God's kingdom is different. Huh. And recognizing that we are invited to live in God's power and presence, in the way things are, and that my kingdom and God's kingdom don't really coexist. They can't. It's either or sort of thing. And probably my kingdom is more of an illusion, because God is just another word for reality itself, you know? And what I mean by that is the Creator, right, has created everything that we know to be real. So, I mean, that is our heavenly Abba, our heavenly Father. That's what Jesus is speaking to us about in his parables, the power and presence, the reign, the kingdom of that God. And our little who we think we are, what we think we're doing, is just too small to fit into the worldview that is streaming from Jesus in his wisdom way of teaching that drew people to him. His news was received as good, you know. It, you know, sparked and caused conversion in people and hostility. But to all my sisters and brothers who are Type 4s, this is how deep the stuff was and is that is still streaming from all of his wisdom, words, and his way of teaching. And it's captured beautifully in the parables. So I hope I do you justice that as we listen to them, as we listen to story and parable, we can catch something that very much is in this way of understanding that some things are better caught than taught. Much like a vaccination, a vaccine. You know, you are introduced, or your system is introduced with a little bit of the virus. Not enough to really make you sick, but just enough to introduce it to your system so that then you won't actually catch the disease, the virus, the whole thing. And it's in that sense that I tell stories, which I love to do, and I read the wisdom sayings of Jesus in his parables to us in this way to further the Enneagram work of recognizing that we are more than our personalities. We are more than who we think we are. And yet all of us have a tragic, flawed way of looking at the world that is somehow based in the economics of scarcity. But the economics of the kingdom of God, according to Jesus and his teaching, is not scarcity, it's abundance. And those two cannot coexist. So the good news, according to Jesus, and as applied here with the power tool of the Enneagram, is to empower you towards transformation of recognizing that you are more than you think you are. What fours want more than anyone else in life is love. Love in the form of a perfect relationship with all that is, a perfect relationship with another, a perfect relationship. And yet what fours settle for is this sense of envy, which fuels this sense of longing that's so real. And that is that somehow they imagine that someone else has that perfect relationship with someone else, or with the world around them, has the perfect job, has the perfect expression, has the perfect words, you know, to use, or the perfect experiences that have led them to where they are now, and that somehow if they had had that too, if things had only been different. But either or, it's that constant comparing mind and the looking for identity in your feeling tones, in your emotional world, in that ocean of emotion that is inside, where it's always ebb or flood, you know? And Jesus speaks into that from his inner place. He's speaking his words of wisdom, and the way that he says this is a way in which we can clearly see that his inner world is flooded with the power and presence of God. And he is trying to remind us that we too have that. Not that we need to earn it, but that we are that. That is in us as well. But onwards now to a parable from Jesus. He doesn't put any stock in rational persuasion or willpower. He goes straight to it. Will any of you who has a servant plowing or keeping sheep say to him when he has come in from the field, "Come at once and sit down at table"? Will he not rather say to him, "Prepare supper for me and gird yourself and serve me till I eat and drink, and afterward you shall eat and drink"? Does he thank the servant because he did what was commanded? So you also, when you have done all that is commanded you, say, "We are unworthy servants. We have only done what was our duty." The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 17, verses 7 through 10. This one is deep and subtle, like our beautiful four friends. But this is a parable of grace, of the kingdom of God. And it's all about, no matter how morally good someone is, or in the case of Enneagram Type 4s, how emotionally authentic and sincere someone is, there is no claim on God. Why? Because our identity is that we already are children of the divine. We already are beloved. We are loved. We belong. We matter. That's not earned. And this is hard, because the Enneagram Type 4s see themselves the way that they, without taking into consideration what Jesus calls the kingdom of God, and that worldview, in their worldview, in order to not feel like they just got, you know, the short end of the stick. And in order to feel like they're not just someone whom the universe didn't love as good as you or anybody else. It was a clever thing, but they came up with their uniqueness. The way that they're tragically flawed makes them extra worthy of the divine's love finally arriving, you know? And if you can notice it, it's really subtle here, but that's what is the anchor of that longing that's constantly there. Oh, if things had just been different. Hidden there is, I'm uniquely flawed, and therefore one day I will be rescued. The perfect lover will come and I will be perfectly loved. And what Jesus is saying is that there is no reality in which that is the case. It already is the case. You already are special and unique. Think of the Jewish people. It's a great example of this. They think what makes them special and unique is by keeping all the laws that their God tells them, right? No. Over and over again in the Old Testament, in the Torah, what you see is that their God chose them, and God's choosing them made them special. And now, therefore, they are to be a blessing to everybody else. It's really subtle and really deep, very appropriate for Type 4s, but that's what we're talking about. So, the flaw, right? The sin, if you will, is envy. And that's what knocks everything askew. That's what Jesus is correcting in the parable. And that's what then, in an interesting way, can hopefully be the carrier of the message to all you beautiful fours out there, that it is okay to be happy. It's okay to be joyful. Yes, life is tragic. It's dark. And the morning will come. And the night and the morning make a whole. And that whole is you. You are whole. You are complete. You are a part of this all. You are special, and you are unique, just like everybody else. So what can we do? What can my sisters and brothers who are Enneagram Type 4s do? Could you tell us, Clarence Thompson? Of course you can. I love this book, Parables and the Enneagram. After each Enneagram type chapter, Mr. Thompson has these points. He has 4 points for type 4, and I'm going to keep them all. But I won't do them in the same order that he has them here. So what I'll choose as the first is, gratitude to God and your friends expresses and intensifies your inner core of health and beauty. So make it a point to look for things for which you can be grateful. Gratefulness, y'all. Of course, we can't be grateful for everything, I'll add that. But find the one thing you can be grateful and make it a point to look for those things. Next point. Make something, anything, beautiful, and meditate on the beauty within that you created. This can be anything. No, I don't need to elaborate on that. Be creative, Forrest. Another one is record an hour of a lamentation psalm or anything that has a lot of emotion. And record yourself on voice memos or write it down and recite it to yourself over and over. Listen back if you recorded it on a voice memo. And listen back over and over until you get in touch with the emotional excess. And last but most certainly not least, humor is a saving grace of healthy force. What can you do to develop and enjoy your sense of humor? Okay, everybody, so in the style of my beloved mentor, Sammy Williams, my beloved pastor, let me finish by saying, may you live simply, love generously, speak truthfully, serve faithfully, and leave everything else to God. Go in peace.
The Enneagram of Personality is a production of Life Audio and the Salem Web Network. If you enjoyed what you just listened to, would you take a second to leave us a review in your favorite podcast app? It really does help new listeners find us. You can find more about Logan Jones by visiting his site, loganjonescoaching.com. This podcast is produced by me, Kelly Givens, and edited by Steven Sanders. A special thank you to our executive producer, Stephen McGarvey. For more faith-affirming podcasts, just visit us at lifeaudio.com.
Is life feeling chaotic? I get it. I'm Rachel Wojo, host of the Untangling Life podcast. Don't miss the passionate encouragement and faith-based resources you need to help you clear your head and calm your heart. As Shell says, it feels like Rachel always knows what I need to hear. She keeps it real and is so humble. Her podcast is just the cherry on top. Enjoy Untangling Life with Rachel Wojo on lifeaudio.com or your favorite podcast app now.